Love music. Love Pride Radio. 89.2. Pride Radio.
Coming up at UK Radio Pride.
Let's do it.
It's the Cabaret Tent at UK Radio Pride. I'm Stephen Bailey. You're half cut and you're on your first kebab of the night. I do miss that about Pride. You have your first kebab, recharge, go watch the headline act, then you have your second kebab. Anyway, you're not really there, so you don't need to worry about the calories, really. But we are bringing you a flavour of Pride to you through your speakers, or your AirPods if you fancy, or if you're cheap like me, you've got your Tandy headphones. However you're listening, we've got trans comic Bethany Black on the way, a little stand-up from yours truly, and some very special lockdown performances. Throughout the show, we've been hearing from our house band, from their houses, recorded live in lockdown, which I am so bored of saying, just accept everyone's doing this from home. This is our final track from the Fantastic Fellas. Well, they're actually just called the Fellas, but they are fantastic. Taking on Bruno Mars and Perm, it's the Fellas.
It's my birthday.
No, it's not.
But I still look good, though. Hot cold hot. I bet you want an autograph for you and your friends. Yo, let's take it to the penthouse. What? It's where I keep my pen. Y'all can't dance. Nope. Ain't got rhythm. Say you got a man. I don't see you with him. Put your phone down and let's get it. Get your Instagram and your Twitter. You got me like, whoa, wait a minute. You need to take a minute. Loosen them shoulders up. Hold up. Let's work. Throw some perm on your attitude. Cause you gotta relax. Show you what you got to do.
What you gonna do?
Gotta lay it back. Matter of fact, bang. Show them how to lay it back. Ha. Show them how to lay it back. Come on. Ha. Show them how to lay it back. Show them how to lay it back. Yeah. You need to activate your sex.
Activate your sex.
Silky smooth and snap, come on.
Silky smooth and snap.
Now lean with it.
Lean.
Throw a little sheen in it.
Sheen.
And pat, 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 till it's flat. Tonto, jump on it, jump on it, jump on it. Kimosabe, jump on it, jump on it, jump on it. Come on. Jump on it, jump on it, jump on it. Apache, jump on it, come on. Hey, 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 show my leg back now. Woo. Oh, show my leg back now.
Fellas at UK Radio Pride. You're in the cabaret tent with me, Stephen Bailey. Well, we're actually not technically in the tent. We're in this little dressing room at the back, which is never as glamorous as you think, right? It's always like a little port-a-loo. But you do get to meet some great performers before they stick the slap on. I met Liberty X last year. And you can meet people like Gareth Joyner, who is the man behind Myra Dubois, a fantastic queen who you might have seen on Britain's Got Talent recently. So, Gareth, you can act, you can sing, you can dance, and you can even pull a decent pint. What would you say you're best at?
Well, you see, no, those are the things Myra can do.
Ah, okay.
So already we're stumbling on the myriads of personalities that I navigate through life with.
Because obviously you've got you as Gareth.
Yeah.
And then you have the fabulous Myra Dubois.
Yeah.
And then you also have Frank Lavender.
Yeah.
How do you How did you come up with Myra and Frank?
Well, Myra was a result of a fancy dress party, and I went to a fancy dress party with a friend dressed as Myra Hindley and Rose West. And then it turned into a running joke with me and my friend, and we started making up stories about what Myra was up to, and she became separated from the costume. And then I moved to London, saw her open mic night at Madame Jojo's, thought, oh, I wonder if she'll work as a character, and then did her on stage, and she snowballed from there. And then Frank, he's a little bit more cerebral. It's a stand-up comedian that he's trying his best to navigate the current social landscape. So they're both sort of belong to this kind of like fictitious past of the North that maybe never really existed, which is all working men's clubs and meat raffles and, you know, slightly rose tinted. So that's where those two come from. And they're sort of how I choose to sort of communicate on stage. So Myra's the one who can pour a decent pint. I haven't poured a pint for years.
Obviously, they're very clearly different characters, but how do you get in the mindset of that and just flip so easily?
I think all comedians maybe have a persona that they push when they're on stage, which is not necessarily their authentic self the whole time, because you can't be one thing all the time, can you? So, whenever I'm about to go on stage, I sort of warm up and pull faces in the mirror and do the voice to myself and things. I don't know. What do you do? What do you do before you go on?
I listen to either Little Mix or Girls Aloud. It's so simple. But I just think, because I think what you do is a proper performance, and I think I'm probably a bit more of a chancer. There's not, like, even, do you know, like, when I write material, I'd be like, oh, this funny story happened. So I might just, like, write down, like, Wetherspoons with Natalie, and then I'll go and tell it verbatim until it becomes a bit.
No, because that's my perception of you, because whenever I see you at gigs, you've always got a notebook. Like, I've never seen you at a gig with not a notebook. You're always writing in it. Whereas I think you could probably fill one side of A4 with every joke I've ever written. It's all made up on stage and sort of massaged off the audience. It's just crowd work, really. Crowd work and a costume, that's all I am.
LGBT, I'll try. It's easier at the moment to remember the colours on Joseph's coats than it is the acronym for the gay. LGBTQIAI. LGBT plus. That's what they call them, which I think sounds like a telly channel. It sounds like seeing what the gays were up to an hour ago. Yeah. And, you know. But anyway, no, I'm here to tell some jokes. Why doesn't Kim Jong-un have a girlfriend? Because he's focusing on his career. Korea. Is this on? Korea. It's the part of the world he's in charge of, and it's his vocation. Okay, right, okay, another one.
So how's lockdown been for you, Gareth?
So I have thrown myself at work. I've started doing a weekly stream with Myra every week. So I thought I'll do it, and it's called A Problem Shared, and it's Myra sort of insisting that she's not an agony aunt because she thinks that's too trivial for the sort of spiritual help that she offers. Basically, Myra just talking to punters on Twitter. And that has, it's been successful in that it's getting good numbers every week and the audiences are liking it. But also, it's given me focus. It felt like, you know, coronavirus hit, and it was very confusing and very scary. And then it got a little twee for a bit, and it was all, you know, Vera Lynn clapping on doorsteps, we'll meet again, all that sort of thing. And then all of a sudden it took, Black Lives Matter happened. And I think that galvanized a lot of anger. And I think had George Floyd been murdered at a different time, the movement wouldn't have gained the traction that it's had. Because I think everyone is angry at the government. I think everyone is angry with how people are being treated. And I think that sort of galvanised everyone into sort of enough is enough. So it went from we'll meet again to defund the police, which... we had 2 weeks of Black Lives Matter activism, and then JK Rowling dropped her transphobic bombshell. So then we had that to process. And when I say we, I mean the LGBTQ community. And so I processed that for about a week, and I was campaigning and fundraising, and I went on demos and marches and things. And then all of a sudden, about a week ago, I like reached capacity. And so for about 3 days, I just watched point of view videos going around rides on Disneyland on YouTube, because I just needed fluff. And so I kind of had to reset a bit. Yesterday, I tried to meditate for the first time.
How was that?
In a long time. I know, I feel like such a middle-class white woman saying that, but...
How have you found the meditation? Because it's something I started at the beginning of lockdown, and at first I was like, oh God, this is so woo-woo and self-indulgent and da-da-da. But then it really works for me now.
Do you think it comes from sort of being kind of like a working-class northern kid?
I think so.
And and you've got like a little bit of internal snobbery, and you can feel your relatives' voices swirling around your head going like, oh, look at this, you know.
It's exactly that. I always think every time, do you know when they do a breathing exercise, like in, two, three, hold, out, two, three.
Yeah.
I'm always like, my dad would be like, why do you need someone to tell you how to breathe? So I've got to let you go soon, but I just wanted to know before you go, because obviously Pride's gone online for this year. Mm. So I was just wondering what Pride meant to you.
To me, Pride is, it's, because see, I'm 3 years sober, so I don't party anymore. And so it's not really get out in the drink streets and have a drink and scream and listen to pop music for me. But because also the Black Lives Matter movement, I'm really taking the time this year to focus on the role that black people have played in gay liberation, especially black trans women who have played a huge part in gay liberation. What I've missed this year is that kind of feeling of connection with other LGBTQ plus people. The basic function of standing in the streets with hundreds of other people who you have this experience and connection with is very empowering.
And Gareth, we're now going to play a Pride song for you. Gareth, what song would you like?
I'll have Filthy Gorgeous by the Scissor Sisters, and I shall tell you why. I remember when it came out, I was a teenager in my bedroom in Rotherham. I looked at the video and thought, that's the world I want access to. And then I remember a few years later being in Too Much in Soho, looking around me and going, oh my God, I'm in the Filthy Gorgeous video. Oh. And it's that moment of finding your community, which is what we were just talking about. So that's the song, and that's why.
Oh, thanks, Gareth.
You're welcome, Stephen.
Well, let's play it, because it's probably the closest any of us will get to feeling like we're in a club anytime soon. Myra Dubois, sorry, Gareth Joyner's Pride anthem is Scissor Sisters and Filthy Gorgeous.
Oh, you're so filthy. Walking down the street and a man tries to get your business. And the people that you meet wanna open you up like Christmas. You gotta wrap your fuzzy with a big red bow, and no, some bitch gonna treat me like a classy honey, kiss you, hug you, love it, down.
is the Sisters of Filthy Gorgeous at UK Radio Pride. Playing that backstage at the Cabaret Tent for Gareth, aka Myra Dubois, who's just scooted off for last orders. But we've still got more lockdown sessions to come. I mean, not that kind of session, but you'll meet the fantastic Tanya Moore, and right now I'm joined by Bethany Black, whose Wikipedia says she's Britain's only goth, lesbian, transsexual comedian.
Yeah.
How is that?
That's so long ago now. I don't think I am anymore. It's been lonely, I'll put it that way. And you'll know this with being a gay comic. Like, how often are you in a room with other gay comics when it's not, like, a charity night?
Oh, my God. Because we, at the start of the year, we did the charity night, didn't we, in Wales?
Yeah, we did, yeah.
And it was fabulous. And I remember just being sat around and be like, I'm having the time of my life, because we all got on.
Yeah.
You know, we sat there socialising, having a little gossip, having a little nourishment and a Diet Coke. And I thought, we never get to do this.
We never get to do this, yeah. And that's the thing that, like, straight male comics seem to get all the time. That, like, that must be what it's like for them. That must be why they love it so much.
They're all just hanging out with their mates, aren't they? Because yeah. I think about it every time, is like, especially like the straight male comics, they have no interest in asking me, like, how's your relationship? How's, you know, what have you been up to at the weekend? I swear they think I'm going to say something exceedingly crude, but...
Yeah, exactly. So you sit there and you listen to them talk about, like, football or the boxing or whatever sporting event it is that's going on, and then deciding where they're going to go out for drinks after, without ever really asking, do you want to come along to this?
Especially if it's like a big city, you know, like Birmingham or Newcastle. I think they just assume we're just going to go off to the gay area of town. They'll be fine.
But I was thinking about this, because it's, yeah, it's like, I know that there are more trans comics out there now, and that's great, because when I started, there was basically, there was me, Shelley Cooper, who no longer does it, and Deborah Jane Appleby, and like, and we were the three of us. And in the whole time that I've done stand-up, I've gigged with... I never gigged with Shelley, and I have gigged with Deborah Jane twice. One of those was a specific, like, trans comedy night event, and the other one was just a random gig in East London. And I said to the promoter, like, I honestly can't believe this, because I'd been doing stand-up for about 10 years at that point, and I went, do you know what, genuinely, I can't believe that I've been put on a bill with Deborah Jane, because, like, we never normally work together. Like, oh no, I don't worry about booking two women on the bill at the same time. And it was that clear thing that, like, that was where they went to. Not that, not only are you two women, but you're two trans women who are both gay, who are going to be talking about that.
It does feel like our stand-up circuit is quite behind.
It is, and I think it's that thing that that anything that's not sort of like default is seen as specialist and isn't going to appeal to a wider audience. So, you know, they don't. The amount of gigs that I've turned up at where they're, you know, I've been on a bill where not only am I the only woman on the bill, I'm the only person who isn't called Steve on the bill. Do you know what I mean?
You go, yeah.
I didn't want to really tone down what it was I was going to do. And so as a result of that, I had to figure out how to be able to do it, and to do what I do, to say what I say in front of an audience, to get away with some of the sort of like the candid stuff about sex and gender that if it was a straight comic talking to a straight audience, that they would be able to go, ah, right, okay, I'm on board with this straight away. I know exactly how people talk about this. But coming at that and talking about it in the same way that they do, but from a gay perspective, and bringing people into that world, and coming from a trans perspective and talking about it, it required so much more learning about how to do that, about how to win them over, because you've already got that battle from the second that you go on stage. You're talking to them from a position of, this is alien.
Do you feel like you're always coming out?
Yeah, every single time. Every single time I do it.
Well, like I say, I live in Manchester with my girlfriend, obviously. 15 years I've been doing this. That has never come as a surprise to an audience. Not once there have been anyone sat at the back looking at me going, she's a lesbian. Always the last ones you expect, isn't it? I know what I look like. I've seen this haircut. I never asked for it. That's the strangest thing. Not once have I ever said to my hairdresser, can you make me look a bit like a fat goth Justin Bieber? This is my girlfriend. I know exactly the haircut I'm going to give you. So I live with my girlfriend and our cats. Again, obviously, you can't fight that. That's just biology. That's So what happens when lesbians meet? We fall in love, we rub belly buttons. 3 months later, a kitten appears.
How did you find coming out as gay and as trans on a stage back then as well?
In 2008, I decided to do my fringe show, my first fringe show. And I did it all about my transition. And that was really difficult. And there was that immediate fear that this might lead to me being attacked, because that was always the fear. That was always the fear that was there at the back of my mind about being trans, because that was my experience. That was the thing that whenever that sort of came up, whenever people read me as, like, as a, before I transitioned, whenever there was almost always on a night out somewhere, some straight guys would read me as female and then realise and then lose their shit with me as if I'd tricked them.
Yeah.
Trying to overcome that isn't something that I can do by repeatedly talking about it on stage. Every time I do talk about it on stage, I then feel really vulnerable, and I then feel really vulnerable afterwards. So I save it for when I know that it's an audience who's there specifically to see me, or specifically at an LGBT gig, which I beat myself up about a lot because that feels like cowardice, but it really isn't. It's self-preservation more than anything else. It's attempting to not re-traumatise myself. That got deep, didn't it?
No, but it's so important to know as well. And as well, it is scary just being on a stage on your own anyway. Like, and then you have to leave through the back exit, through a car park on your own. It's all very, very scary. Do you know, as we've gone a bit deep, what's your view on the progress of trans rights? I mean, there's still loads to do, obviously, but do you think we have moved forward from when you started?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. God, yeah. Being able to see, like, I've retired from trans activism, sort of.
Yeah.
I don't argue about it on the internet anymore. I don't turn up to anything where they ask me to debate the trans debate, because it isn't a debate, you know. It's not a debate where one side is arguing for their right to be alive, including all of the things that suddenly people have started going, oh no, we're going to get trans women in changing rooms. Well, we've had trans women in changing rooms as long as we've had changing rooms. We've had trans women in toilets as long as we've had toilets. The thing that we're getting, all that this GRA like update does is it goes and makes the admin a little bit easier.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Obviously, this is our show for Pride, because we can't have Pride this year. So I was just wondering what Pride means to you.
The first time I went, it was like, suddenly it was being home. Suddenly it was not having, it was spending my whole life not fitting in. And suddenly Pride was fitting in for the first time. And over the years, it sort of like, yeah, it became a home. And then it's changed more now as I've got older. Now I've got older, I really appreciate the fight. I really appreciate the fight that was put in to create it. You know, I really appreciate how much it is the journey that our people have made over the last, over forever, but mostly over the last 50 years, which is the time that we really have any sort of records of it. That's what Pride is to me. It's that it's the journey that we've achieved, and the fact that it allows us to find a place that's home. Community is what it is.
I love that. And I don't even think I can bring myself to ask you for a Pride anthem now. It would just spoil that lovely sentiment. Bethany Black, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Stephen.
I'm going to have to leave you here gagging your honey and lemon, because I've still got to fit in Tanya. That's comedian Tanya Moore on the way in just a minute, who you will love. Also, a tasty musical treat from drag queen Anubis Finch next, taking on Whitney Houston.
UK Radio Pride on Pride Radio.
Love music, love the Northeast. 89.0 Pride Radio.
UK Radio Pride, supported by Audio Content Fund on Pride Radio.
It's the cabaret tent at UK Radio Pride. I'm Stephen Bailey, and there's stand-up on the way from me very soon, a new music from Husk. Comedian Tanya Moore will be here in just a minute after we turn our attention to the stage here at the Cabaret 10 with Whitney's I Will Always Love You. It's Anubis Finch.
If I should stay, I would only be in your way. So I'll go, but I know I'll think of you every step of the way. And I will always love you. I will always love you. Sweet memories, that is all I'm taking with me. So goodbye, please don't cry. We both know I'm not what you need.
Always love you there from Anubis Finch at UK Radio Pride. Right, we've been lounging round all day with comics and queens. Comedian Tanya Moore is with us now, and Tanya, we're basically here because Pride can't happen this year.
Well, it can't exist outside, but it's always Pride, isn't it?
Yeah, it's always Pride. And you've hosted Bi Pride before, haven't you?
I did, and I spoke at London Pride last year as well on stage.
How was that?
I'm a comedian, you know, we get on stage all the time. I've never been so, I was shaking.
Is it just to speak from the heart?
I think so. And it's like a subject that I've not really been, not so much public, but no, I don't get asked to do that normally. So it was the first time having that moment as well and just telling my story, and it was just scary as hell. I was so scared. I was shaking. I had 5 minutes and I was like, such a long time. I went on there first of all and I was totally like comedian host, like, oh my God, make some noise. Right. Who's in the audience?
Make some
noise if you're from here or from here. And then I just kind of, they wanted me to discuss about being Caribbean, Jamaican and bisexual and what that means. So I just kind of had a little moment about that as well. And then I ran off stage because I was scared. I was shaking. Stephen, I was shaking half an hour after. It was so scary.
Was it empowering though? Because
big, you know, time.
Yeah.
Like I do it again over and over again. I go through that same level of fear over and over again. But it was, I've never felt it. And that's coming from us. I've never felt it.
Because I always think you're a bit like me, because you're very, very crude and boisterous on stage.
Yeah.
And then I think you're probably like me in the sense that when someone's like, right, so we need you to speak from the heart today. I'm like, yeah. The what?
Yeah. I'm like, no, but then everyone can see me. Stop being silly. Yeah. You feel so naked.
Now I like travelling. I like travelling and I like meeting different people and different cultures, right? I went to New York recently. Anyone been to New York? they love our accents there, don't they? Every time I spoke, I felt white and privileged. I was like, oh my God, this is what it's like to be blonde. Ah! But I don't know if you've heard, right? In New York, they can't believe there are black people in the UK. Has anyone heard this before? It's so stupid. Like, of course there's black people in the UK. Our cops don't have guns. Yeah, I know. That joke normally splits the room between, like, people who enjoy it and, like, racists. So it's up to you.
So you said you were talking about being Caribbean and bisexual. What yes. is that like?
So I don't know if you know, in Jamaica, it's, like, a crime to be...
Yeah.
Yeah. So that hasn't stopped. That's still a thing. And so some family members are like, that's disgusting. And some family members are human beings and they understand we're just human beings. So it's more a case of admitting it to yourself at first. That was probably the hardest thing.
Yeah.
And then having conversations about it and then finding out about it and figuring out why you're not feeling like everybody else that's around you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was a difficult thing to do. Telling family members was difficult. My dad's first son, I don't call him my brother because he no longer calls me his sister, doesn't talk to me no more. So that's
because
fun.
Of your bisexuality?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I know, it's okay. I'll just go with a couple of his girlfriends, it's fine. No. I'm sure we'll have things to bond over then. But...
So did you feel like trepidation in coming out?
I guess.
Is that when you first was with a woman or is that when you just said it to yourself?
To myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just to myself. Just like, okay, this is why you're not running towards skirts and makeups. This is why boys are friends and you don't find them attractive as much as you would do anybody else. This is why you have more male friends than you have. Do you know what I mean? There's so many different things that were happening to me in my life. And I was just like, well, why don't I don't want to do that. I don't want to play kiss chase with the boys. Disgusting. My first boyfriend, when he asked me out, I was 14, sorry. I ran around the whole estate and everyone, he was gay because he asked me out. Because I thought I was one of the mandem.
Oh,
I was
my
like,
God.
That's okay.
That's really interesting. And so just coming back to the Jamaican side of things and the homophobia, how have you dealt with that to know that, you know, you're not talking to some of your family? Are these people that will come round or... No.
Well, not anymore. I mean, I don't live at my mum's house anymore, so it's not so much of a stressful situation. Yeah. I have my own, you know, palace, so to speak, my own corner of the world where I can just be myself. However, those people I just stay away from. It doesn't serve me to be around them. It doesn't serve me, it doesn't serve them. It's stressful, it's weighty, and if you're going to live in the archaic years, that's fine. I'm just not going to join you, babes. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Say hi to Fred. Do you know what I mean? kind of energy.
I love that. And do you talk about it on stage, Tanya?
Not as much as I should do, actually.
Yeah.
Not as much as I should
do. Well, you don't have to talk about it. I just wondered, like, when you step out on stage, it's almost like there's an expectancy of, because if you are LGBTQ+, you're expected to talk about being LGBTQ+. And it's like, well, actually, we do the same as everyone else. We go to the supermarket, like, we buy a house, like...
Yeah. Like, we're not shoving it down your throats.
No.
We just want to be, babes. That's all we're
M&S
doing.
Wanted it to be a sandwich, but it's not. Do you know what I mean? I am not guacamole.
Where's the sandwich that says I'm straight? You absolute nightmares. There. And what's that sandwich? Just bread and butter? Like, what is that?
Probably
sandwich?
Very beige. Tanya, don't go anywhere, because I know we've got so much more to find out about you. But we want to squeeze some more music in before we go. We've already heard from Huss today with his cover of Madonna's Lucky Star. But this is an original. It's got all the electro-synthy vibe you've expect from the likes of Years and Years or Dragonette, maybe. With his latest single out now, this is Husk with Heal With Time, especially for UK Radio Pride.
Okay, there's nothing wrong. If I'm still blind, it's been too long to make things right. Some things never buy your time. That heart keep trying, trying to blow it up my end. I can keep fighting. Some things never buy your time. That heart keep trying, trying to blow it up my end. I can keep fighting. To be free, everyone's right to be free, everyone's right to be free, except me, some things never heal with time, but I'll keep trying, trying to blow it up my head, keep fighting. Some things never heal with time, but I keep trying, trying to blow it up my mind. I can keep fighting anymore, 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 anymore.
Proud trans musician Husk and Heal With Time for UK Radio Pride. It's the Cabaret Tent. I'm still Stephen Bailey. Pitched on a flight case with a can of Red Stripe next to Tanya Moore. Right, who am I kidding? She's got the Red Stripe. I've got a yellow Bacardi Breezer. Now, Tanya, you were due to do the Edinburgh Fringe this year, weren't you?
I was going to debut.
Was it your debut?
Yes.
And the show was going to be Bully, right?
Yeah. It's literally about how when I was a child, I was a bully and how I came to realise that and what I did to get over it and like how it affects me today.
How does it affect you today?
Things like I wasn't actually a bully. It's just called a bully. It's just an outspoken little shithead who just kept asking why. I always say to people, who I am today is who I was as a child, which I can understand as an adult would be irritating as a child. Just constantly asking why, constantly questioning your decisions, your movements, constantly looking, wanting to be involved. That's irritating.
When I went to school, right, I was the only black girl in my class. Do you know how weird it is being the only person in the room with lips? And I used to get called really horrible names. I used to get bullied, right, get called names, like late. Here's the thing. I had a friend with me, yeah, her name was Laura, and she was lovely. She was white, and I loved her to pieces. And I went to stay at her house one day, right? Now, dinner time. I knew I was in trouble, but her mum said, dinner's ready, and I couldn't smell nothing. Not one thing.
And do you talk about bisexuality in there at all?
I do. Yeah, oh. I know, right? All the juice.
And Tanya, what was it like the first time you were with a girl?
So she's my mum's best friend's daughter. And
okay, I thought it was going to be your mum's best friend and I was like...
Babes, I mean, for the stage, it might be.
I'd pay you an extra £20 for a ticket if that's the story.
It was her best friend's daughter.
Okay.
And she kept coming to... Every Sunday we go to mum's, sit at dinner table. She'll pop her head into the door and be like, Joyce, one day I'm going to have your daughter and walk out. And I'm just like, this is so weird. I know, it's so weird. So
what did Joyce say?
My mum just kept laughing because at that point she didn't know, or maybe she did know because mums always know, right? So I don't know, but everyone just kept laughing at my uncomfortability in the moment because I'm always loud and out and always got something to say. But at this time I just had nothing to say. There was just no words coming out. It was just shoom. It was just that, So now this is happening for a couple of years. So after a while we became friends and then she invited me to her birthday party. And obviously straight Tan is like, oh cool, a birthday party. Walked into a room full of lesbians. Oh my God. best party ever.
Did you? I love it.
It was like the first time I could be myself, but like
yes,
fully. Do you know what I mean? So that was the best party ever. So we started spending time from then on, and we started seeing each other. And then it got really sour because we were seeing each other, but we weren't in a relationship. So then we went to a industry party.
Yeah.
And oh, this is for radio. That's an inverted commas. So we went to an industry party. So we went to this party. And I was talking to a guy there, which obviously she didn't like. And so when we were driving on the way home, by the time that we were all drunk,
yeah,
irritated, she was angry. I'm trying to reduce the situation. Never been in this situation before with a female. Didn't know how it was going to go. Because in my mind, I was thinking, should I respond to her the way I would respond to a man? Or do I respond to her the way I would respond to a lady, like a friend, a girlfriend? Because I don't know. I don't know how to do this. She's a star. She's being very aggressive. And I was like, I don't know how to, what do I do now? What do I do? I don't know what to do. So in my head, I'm not even arguing with her. I'm like, I don't even know how to handle this. I'm just going to drive. She's going to drive and like it's not happening. She's going and going and going and going. She's mad. Me ignoring her is not helping the situation. It's making her angry. So we're driving and driving and driving. And I was like, look, I'd just rather you stop shouting. You better talk to me. I was like, babe, listen, stop. She's like, if you keep treating me like this and you keep doing that, I'm going to punch you in the face. So normally when someone says I'm going to punch you in the face, figure of speech, yeah. So I was like, and then punch me in the face. She went, bang, punched me in the face. As I was driving, luckily it's 4 a.m, there's no one on the road. But I was like, so I was like, oh, you actually meant you were gonna punch me in the face? Okay. So I just drove her home and then we got to her house and she's like refusing to get out of the car. And I was just like, please, can you just get out of the car? Like, I just want you to get out of the car and then I'll call you tomorrow. She got out of the car, I locked it. I blocked her before I even left the house.
Really? Never spoke again?
No, obviously I have to because she's my mom's best friend's daughter. So yeah. She comes to my mom's parties and stuff. I'm cordial with her. And then that lasted for about 3 years. And then we started seeing each other again. Big mistake! Why did I do that, Stephen?
We always go back and you never, ever go back. I did the same thing with my ex-boyfriend, Satan. I went back.
Your first filly. You called him Satan.
Yeah, of course I do. Honestly, like, he was a goth. And we once went to a Marilyn Manson concert and I was the only one, everyone there was like, it was like a sea of like black outfits and I was the only one in yellow in Technicolor. It was
I can
awful.
Imagine it.
Right, so we're going to let you go in a moment, babe, but I wanted to know, do you have a Pride anthem? Like, what is the song that gets you up off your feet at Pride that we can play now?
Honestly, anything RuPaul. I don't know why. I think he's got the magic. He knows the right tempo, the instruments, and he also knows that every song literally has to have zero meaning. There's no... Sissy, that what? Like, babe, what? Yeah.
What suits the theme of the season? What suits the theme of the season?
Exactly. But in all of that, the moment you press play, you're always like, yes, sissy, yes.
We're going to sissy together then, aren't we? Category is RuPaul Pride Realness for Tanya Moore.
Yay, I enjoyed that. Thank you.
Pick myself up, turn the world on its head. Don't forget what my mama said. People talking since the beginning of time. Unless they paying your bills, pay them bitches no mind. And if I
sissy that wow.
Better beware, ain't no tea, ain't no shade, but at the same time, bitches better get out the way. I'm a
sissy there, wow.
I am so pleased that Tanya Moore chose that as her Pride anthem. Right, we're fast running out of time here at the Cabaret Tent. Before we go, though, we're going to dip into my stand-up archives and hear a mini set from me. Right, and to be honest with you, I have to say I'm dipping into the archives because it's from when I was talking about being single and my boyfriend would kill me. I tell you what, having a boyfriend has ruined my career because now I'm happy. There's nothing to talk about. Like, I can't talk about Tinder anymore because that's called cheating. The next song you'll hear is from Tiggy Hawk with what I think is the best cover of Elton John you might have ever heard. It's on the way.
UK Radio Pride on Pride Radio.
Love music, love Pride Radio. 89.2 Pride Radio.
UK Radio Pride, supported by Audio Content Fund on Pride Radio.
She packed my bags last night, pre-flight. 0 hour, 9 a.m. Gonna be high as a kite by then. I miss the earth so much. I miss my wife. It's lonely out in space on such a time.
Tiggy Hawk and Rocket Man at UK Radio Pride. I've absolutely loved today and hanging about with you lot, or for you lot, backstage at the Cabaret Tent for UK Radio Pride. I'm just gutted that we can't be at a real Pride festival this year. I mean, next year's going to be something so special, isn't it? Like, we're going to be so excited for it. But before we go, let's turn back to the stage for a bit of stand-up. This is a bit weird because it's me from the archives, and I'm not really used to introducing myself. I mean, who am I kidding? I'm too cheap to pay for a warm-up act. Of course I'm used to introducing myself. I've been Stephen Bailey, and before I go, please welcome to the stage me, Stephen Bailey.
Hello. Y'all all right? Yeah. Oh, great. Can I just find out who's in really quick? Can all the men give me a cheer? Hi, boys. Hello. any gays? Oh, I mean, I don't know if that's a sympathy gay, but I'll take it. And I'm trying to find true love at the minute because I've been single for ages. Thank you. It's not the Lion King, but thank you. And I don't know why it's not happening for me, right? Because I have had a boyfriend before, and his name was Matt, and we were together for 3 years between the ages of 16 and 19. And we had to end up breaking up because Matt ended up going into the Navy, and then he came out straight, which is the wrong way around. And it's hard, it's particularly hard in the gay community because the gays have turned very superficial now and don't turn all LGBTQIA123 Caitlyn Jenner and build a flow. But no, they have, because the gays now, they all just want a thought. They want the perfect tan, the perfect six pack. And I'm just not shallow in that way. I'd rather know what someone earns. Do we have single people in? Thank you, just the women. Like, all the men gets terrified. Where are the straight men? I just want you to know that your lifestyle choices are disgusting, unnatural, and God hates you. Politics, dumb. I'm trying to find love, so I've had to resort to doing the online dating. But I'm trying to find true love, so I'm trying to use the proper websites like Grindr. And so you know it. It's so difficult because the way we speak to each other online, like, no one's speaking to each other that way in real life. Like, no one's going to come up to me at the bar afterwards and be like, hey, how's you, aubergine? The old people are like, oh my God, aubergine, he's going to make someone a vegetarian lasagna. What a nice boy. What a sweetheart. What a sweetheart. Why is he alone? And right, and I've been doing, please tell me if you've ever done this one, Plenty of Fish, Puff. Oh, innit, right? It's the skankiest of all the dating websites. It is, and the reason it's so skanky is because there's no restrictions on there. So any lunatic can message you, and I will. And he's really fit, he can't look at me anymore. Innit, hello. Because you're fit, that's why I'm looking at you. It's the white straight man's time to be objectified, girl. You're real. What's your name? Scott, it's really nice to meet you. Where do you live? Oh, do you have a postcode? I'm going to need it for the Uber driver. I love how wasted you are. I have never made a woman make that noise, but I want to do it again. I want to do it again. Thanks. You guys have been really nice. I've been Stephen Bailey. Get home safe. See you soon. Thank you.